Welcome back here on Alk Live Unplugged, Work with MedJuice Week here. My name is Dr. Chandler Park, and I'm very excited about having a brand new research that's really needed for our field in bladder cancer. We have Dr. Petros Grievous, who's world-renowned in terms of bladder cancer research. And we also had Dr. Ruben Ramachandran. So Petros, can you let us know about this study that you and Ruben did and then kind of share with you with the audience?
Thanks so much, Chandler, for having us. You know, it's very exciting time to come back from ASCO GU 2025. What a great meeting. Amazing data sets. I think it's exciting to see the progress made in the field. And we can focus our discussion today, Chandler, in muscle-invasive bladder cancer. And we have seen data from Niagara trial, CheckMate-274 trial at the ASCO GU 2025 across other data sets. But we're very, very excited to present the data from our own pilot phase 2 trial with dose-dense MVAC plus pembrolizumab as neoadjuvant therapy for patients with muscle-invasive bladder cancer with histology subtypes, varied histologies. And as you and me, Tyler, have talked about that before, this represents an unmet need in this patient population, since we have been extrapolating data from the classical conventional urothelial carcinoma in patients with histology subtypes. But we all agree we need to do dedicated trials in this patient population. And the challenge has been low accrual, heterogeneity because of a different variety of subsets with different histologies and probably tumor biology. So to try to tackle this question, back in the day in 2018, when I joined Fairhatt's Cancer Center and University of Washington, one of our fantastic fellows at the time, Dr. Ali Kaki, who is now at Stanford and doing great things and as a Sun professor, met and we actually designed a clinical trial looking at this combination, dose-dense MVAC plus pembrolizumab. I remember that Ali went to the ASCO AACR VAIL clinical trial workshop with that idea, and he did a great job. He was instrumental in writing the protocol together with me. That trial aimed to enroll 17 patients in a single center, based on regulatory and budget restrictions, of course, in a tough-to-treat population. And of course, this study was launched in a very difficult time because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So we had to overcome many barriers and hurdles. We were able to secure funding, working with the sponsor, and this was an investigator-initiated trial. We were able to accrue all planned 17 patients. And after a lot of hard work together with Dr. Raj Chaudhary, who will now give you the updates, we're able to present the data at ASCO GU 2025, and we're working on the manuscript that Ruben has already drafted. So, Ruben, I'll turn it on to you so you can let us know about the results, a little bit, you know, clarify the methodology and the results of the study that you very, very nicely presented at ASCO GU 2025. And I recall that, you know, you and Ali, you know, the three of us did some very nice discussions there, you know, reflecting on the past, present, and future.
Yes, thanks, Petros. We were able to enroll all the planned patients, 17 patients in total, which is, again, like Dr. Grievous was saying, a pretty big feat for a single center in the midst of COVID. So the primary endpoint was the pathologic CR rate, and the primary endpoint was met. So 9 out of 17 patients, 53%, achieved a pathologic CR. Another patient achieved downstaging with only CIS in the cystectomy sample. And an additional patient who actually opted against cystectomy after achieving a clinical CR did very well too. So a large number of patients had a very, very good response with this variant histologies, much better than previously reported historical data. The treatment was safe and well-tolerated, consistent with the known toxicities of both MVAC and pembrolizumab. All but two patients were able to get to cystectomy, which is very important, obviously. One of those patients was the patient who achieved a clinical complete response and opted against surgery, and the other, unfortunately, developed a disease progression in the interim and was deemed not a surgical candidate. At this point, we've had about 32 months of median follow-up, and neither the median overall survival or median event-free survival have been reached. The two-year OS is estimated at 77%, and the two-year EFS is 72%. And so the trial, again, met its primary endpoint, and we're very excited to see these results, and we're already in discussions about how to move forward in collaboration with some other investigators in the GU community nationwide.
Yeah, I think it's great, guys. I know whenever I see patients with bladder cancer, you know, the assumption is it's all urothelial. But I mean, I've had patients with plasmacytoid where you have serosal mets. I mean, they presented with a colon mass, and they all of a sudden they show a pleural effusion or pericardial effusion. And then you also have, you know, the pure sarcoma. I mean, I've had like, not sarcoma, but like pure squamous T2s where there's no response to chemo. And then you also have to consider like maybe some neuroendocrine, you know, well-differentiated, high-grade neuroendocrine. And then also, you know, maybe the rhabdoid. So there's so much variance that we see, especially at a leading center at UW at Fred Hutch, that this is something that you guys have started the leadership on the variant histology. What's the breakdown here in this study on the different variant histologies, guys?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, that's one of the downsides of this study is that it's a basket of many different types of variant histology. So first, we did exclude patients with pure neuroendocrine small cell type histology because those patients are typically treated a little bit differently per small cell recommendations generally. So the most common was squamous cell. So 5 patients had squamous cell, 3 patients had plasmacytoid, 3 with micropapillary, 3 poorly differentiated. We did have 1 sarcomatoid differentiation as well. The numbers are too small to make any large conclusions about the response rate based on each of those individual subsets. I will say we did see pathologic CRs in all of the different buckets of patients. It did seem that maybe the plasmacytoid histology seems to maybe be a little bit tougher to treat, unfortunately. I believe those patients have mostly progressed at this point, but we did see pathologic CR, I believe, in at least one of those patients. So difficult to treat population. It's a challenge in the data set is the heterogeneity, but I think across the board, we did see some fairly promising results in this group.
Yeah, with so many different variants, it's impossible to have a study for each individual one. So I'm glad that you guys are doing this and championing research here. You know, one of the things about micropapillary is there seems to be more maybe a HER2 expression. Is that something that you guys are looking at in terms of the biomarkers as well, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, so we're working with our biomarker, with our laboratory team to look at everything from RNA expression to different immunohistochemical expression. Yeah, so we are looking at HER2 expression, looking at that in all the sort of tissues sampled. We did see with a lot of interest, there was another study at ASCO GU presented looking at neoadjuvant HER2 IO, and those results looked very promising, especially in the 3+ population. So definitely very curious to see if that may be a different treatment strategy for the patients with HER2 3+ or even 2+ IHC. But this certainly will be something that we correlate with in our data set. I don't know if you have anything to add, Dr. Grievous.
That's a great point, Ruben. Thank you. And a great point about citing the interesting trial from China with the anti-HER2 antibody drug conjugate plus a checkpoint inhibitor. Impressive pathological complete response rates there. I think the future is very interesting as we wait for data from the KEYNOTE B15 and KEYNOTE 905 trials with pembrolizumab and fortumab, as well as a Volga trial with EV plus durva plus minus tremi, and of course the 2 other chemo immunotherapy trials, GEMCIS plus minus pembro and GEMCIS plus minus nivolumab. Of course, although above trials are in the conventional urothelial carcinoma field, and the Niagara trial that we just saw the data at ESMO 2024 and ASCO GU 2025 included patients with histology subtypes. If I remember correctly, it was only 15% of patients had histology subtypes. About half of them had squamous features. But we definitely need more data. And I'm very excited we're able to show the data with Ruben at this meeting, because this was, to our knowledge, Ruben, one of the very few, probably the only trial that has finished accrual in this particular population of histology subtypes. So we showed feasibility. We could do this, of course, in the context of the single center and the heterogeneity across histologies. But I think we can set the stage for the future, and maybe through cooperative groups, we can think about the future trial designs in variant histology bladder cancer.
Yeah, I think it's exciting, guys. I think, you know, when you have that, you know, Niagara cisgem with a checkpoint inhibitor, but you guys have that Dostin's Invec with the checkpoint inhibitor. So it's a proof in principle. And then also, the response rate that you guys have with the PCR, and I think this is phenomenal. Did you say it's like, what, 59 to 60% PCR or something like that? Can you kind of review that again, Ruben?
Yeah, so again, 9 out of 17 patients achieved a path CR, additional patient with just carcinoma in situ, and then an additional patient who had no disease on follow-up cystoscopy and declined surgery. It's hard to compare across trials, obviously. Small data set, the confidence interval is, you know, you have to take that into account, but certainly at first look, it looks very promising compared to prior data sets.
And, you know, since you guys led this study and you guys see the patients like starting from, because, you know, all studies kind of start like this, you know, phase one, phase two, all started here, and then it's just going to slowly increase. So Ruben and Petros, being the leaders of this study, were there any safety figure, like, you know, the features that we should be aware of in this study that might be new or something that might be combination?
We didn't see anything new or concerning to us in this. I mean, everybody's familiar and probably who's watching this with the toxicities, obviously, of dose-dense MVAC. You know, obviously, G-CSF support is mandatory. One patient did have a dose reduction, but again, every patient was safe to get to the surgery. Two didn't, not due to safety issues. And the median time between completing surgery therapy and surgery was 6 weeks. So again, it speaks to the tolerability of this, well, the relative tolerability of this combination, obviously combined with high efficacy in the curative intent setting.
Oh, 100%. And you know, you got that dose-dense MVAC every 2 weeks, 4 cycles, you add the pembrolizumab on top of that. You know, after that, you get closer to cystectomy. And so our surgeons love that, you know? Now, I know, Ruben, before we kind of talked in the past, and, you know, I know with the gut microbiome and stuff like that, that you guys did some urine samples. Can you kind of elaborate that on that as well?
Yeah, so unfortunately, we weren't able to collect enough stool samples for this study. That was one of the initial aims. However, as you can imagine, it can be a little bit challenging for people to collect this, especially as they're going through chemotherapy. There's a lot of, you know, hurdles associated with doing that. So we collected not enough samples to really make it probably worthwhile to do this sort of investigation, which is a little unfortunate because we do know that there are probably some relationships. So there's a number of different, you know, studies that have come out over the last few years looking at things like fecal transplants and potential responses to immunotherapy. So it's not something that we have collected. We did get urine samples on these patients. One of the things that we're looking at there is there any like ctDNA that we could sort of collect from that may act as a sort of a surrogate biomarker for that. There's a lot of challenges with that we're learning, but stay tuned, I guess I would say, for some of the results of the translational component of this study.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, this is something that, you know, Monty, our friend here at City of Hope, with the you know, studies that he did with his mentees in terms of kidney cancer with the gut microbiome, and I know the logistics can be pretty hard, but you know, you got the urine sample, so I'm glad that you guys collected that. So it's going to be interesting what that looks like. Petros, any thoughts on this study? I think it's phenomenal that you guys did this study at UW, and I'm very excited about the next steps on this study.
Thanks, Sandler. You know, I'm very proud of Ali Kaki and Ruben Reitz-Audrey. Great job. And Ruben, you made great points in your presentation and also today. You know, it's really important to work together to try to do trials in this population. Patient advocacy groups like the Bladder Cancer Advocacy Network are asking us to look at those histology subtypes, the varying histologies. And, you know, as Ruben mentioned, you know, we're doing plenty of good work with the biomarker team. We have great colleagues at the Fred Hutchinson University of Washington who are looking at the tumor tissue bus specimens. We have monthly meetings that Ruben and me are meeting with our colleagues in the lab. And we have mapped out a nice strategy looking at genomic sequencing, looking at the DNA level, transcriptomics, RNA level, a multiplex immunohistochemistry and immunofluorescence, looking at immune cell infiltrates, working with pathology colleagues, of course, who are interested in plasma and urine cell DNA. So all of this work is happening in the meantime. In parallel, Ruben already presented the work that he led with some peripheral blood immune cells, T lymphocytes, MDSCs, Tregs. This work is already included in the current manuscript that Ruben has drafted. We did not see any meaningful correlation there, but I think we're delving into more work on the tumor tissue, urine, and plasma biospecimens. And I think we're going to generate some very interesting hypotheses that hopefully we can validate in the future. I see this work as a kind of a new paradigm in dedicated solid subtypes trials. And I'm interested in the biomarker work because we can find a signal that we can try to validate in future studies. And we can chase that signal in the biomarker work, but also the efficacy signal we saw, and Ruben talked about this pathological complete response approaching 60%. I think it's one of the highest ever seen in this setting. I think we need to build upon that, and we're going to work further to expand on these findings.
Oh, yeah, I think it's wonderful, Ruben. Phenomenal job. And, you know, one of the things is, you know, there's so many new, you know, junior faculty and also fellows that are getting ready to graduate. And since you did such a phenomenal job, any kind of advice that you would give, you know, maybe the fellows that are about to graduate or any junior faculty to undertake this kind of research, any kind of advice that you can share in terms of research that sounds like from the bench all the way to patient, and it's phenomenal. Any advice there, Ruben?
Having good mentorship is obviously one of the most important things that you can do. So I would advise you to, you know, meet with multiple people at your institution. And there's no problem with working with multiple different mentors as well. A lot of my research, for instance, is in prostate cancer, but Dr. Grievous and I have been working on this unique project. Another thing I'll say is, you know, you work on things at various stages of completion. So, you know, I am building off of what Dr. Kaki did in his fellowship. He took this trial to the Vail program. He, you know, wrote all the protocol. And, you know, now this is several years later, we're seeing the results of his work with Dr. Grievous. And, you know, I have a similar trial that I have, you know, started during my fellowship, and we're still trying to push that through. So, but in the meantime, you know, there's no problem with sort of getting on things at different stages. And I've, you know, learned at every sort of part of the clinical trials development. So
I love your adaptability. I mean, it's the journey. I know you like prostate and you have a lot of interest there. But, you know, to go through this journey with Petros and you guys work together with UW and learning from this process, right? So then if you want to focus on prostate, now you got all these experiences that you had that you can kind of build on. So I think it's phenomenal. Outstanding job, Ruben. Petros, any lasting thoughts? I think this is phenomenal.
I totally agree. And again, it's exciting to see great teamwork. And you know, congratulations to Ruben for stepping in, helping with data cleanup, looking at the charts himself. He really, really did a great job delving into the details, looking at the adverse event, looking at the pathological complete response, validating, you know, these results, and working with the study coordinators and providing mentorship himself to the study coordinators. It's very nice to see that. It's a continuum, right? You know, it's a relay. You pass the baton, and the baton, you know, is being passed in terms of mentorship. So I'm excited about this study. I'm excited about the rapidly changing landscape in bladder cancer. You know, we talk about docetaxel plus pembrolizumab with this very high pathological complete response rate. And this is in the context of the Niagara trial with gemcitabine durvalumab, the AURA trial in Europe with docetaxel plus avelumab and gemcitabine plus avelumab. And I think all those data sets create a great framework to work with. I am looking forward to the next steps. I think we're changing the way we treat this disease. And I think the work, you know, with junior faculty like Ruben, with fellows, and also the translational work that comes from those trials is very important. And one of the things that Ruben is working on, along with our team here at UW Frehat, is a little bit separate from this trial, but still important, is a rapid autopsy program we have. Chandler, you and me have talked about it. This is an amazing opportunity to look at the heterogeneity of disease, primary tumor metastatic sites. It gives me an amazing, I would say, enthusiasm to see patients being involved in this process, and the patients themselves find meaning, find purpose, to sign a consent to be part of this research autopsy program. After they pass, they allow us the opportunity to do this tissue acquisition necropsy after, again, patient's permission, to understand better the biology of disease. And this helps us a lot with identifying biomarkers, potential therapeutic targets, and again, understanding better the heterogeneity of this disease. And again, every time I talk to a patient and I see the amazing, you know, dedication the patients have into research and they want to be part of this, I would say, knowledge generating process. It takes a village, it takes a whole team, and the patients are being part of this process. And I want to highlight that this is autopsy program, because I know, Ruben, you're doing work in prostate cancer as well. You have manuscript submitted for both prostate and bladder, utilizing this resource that it helps, that patients are helping us work on.
100%. I mean, it starts with the patient and the patient advocacy, the bladder cancer awareness, and all of these people work together as a team. And I think the patient is a focus. So I think it's phenomenal. So, well, thank you so much, guys. I really love learning about this study. Phenomenal job, Ruben. Great job, Petros. I'm looking forward to reading the manuscript.